We will get to the calls, the texts that are flooding in after that little flurry of commentary by yours truly after the break. It does remain one of the Metro Detroit's most sensational murder trials, and now the man at the center of it wants to be released from prison. Lawrence Delisle was sentenced to life in prison for killing his four children and attempting to kill his wife by driving the family station wagon into the Detroit River in 1989. And now he's up in a commutation hearing. WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne, the belle of the ball, says Delisle's case is one of four up for a commutation hearing later this month. Hi, Marie. What's up with this story?
Hi, Chris. Yeah, this is going to pique a lot of our listeners' interest because they remember this story. It made international headlines. Delisle is now 63, and he served more than 34 years behind bars for the deaths of his children, who were ages 8, 4, 2, and 8 months when they died. He told police that he had a leg cramp that caused him to step on the station wagon's accelerator and go into the Detroit River in Wyandotte. He and his wife managed to escape the sinking car. The children did not. The Detroit News reports that Delisle has a spotless prison record in those 34 years. A retired attorney plans to speak on Delisle's behalf. At this hearing, he says he's not a threat to society and did not receive a fair trial, pointing to the extraordinary pretrial publicity. And his trial attorney claimed that investigators had used psychological torture on him during 10 hours of interrogation, which, by the way, happened right after the deaths of the children. Wayne County prosecutors disagree about all this. They have submitted a letter citing the horrendous nature of the crime, saying that Delisle remains and should remain behind bars. This parole board meeting is March 21st, and Chris, hundreds of Michigan prisoners file for these commutations every year. There were 521 petitions submitted in 2023. Only one got a hearing. Only one hearing was held, according to the Michigan Department of Corrections. So these are very rare, but it just so happens that there are about five of them coming up, and one of them is going to be here, the Lawrence Delisle case.
Wow. You know, Marie, I'm not as familiar with this story. I was moving to Michigan as a young man in 1989. So I only really know what I was reading recently about this. Where is the wife? She did not die in that accident. Is she still alive?
No. And you know what? I wasn't able to find any information on her. And I don't know if she had, you know, oftentimes in cases like this, people get a divorce. I was unable to find that information about her. So I don't even know if she's still in this area. And will she have an opportunity to submit a letter in this case of this hearing? We don't know that yet.
Yeah, one of the stories that I read that was from a long, long time ago, it must have been in the archives, was from the very early 90s, and it was about the case in arrears, I suppose you'd say. And she had been lobbying on his behalf. There was some speculation mm-hmm. that it was a plan that was hatched by the two of them. Mm-hmm. So you would think at this point there would be maybe not new evidence, but you know, a further emotional investigation into the relationship between the two. 34 years, a long, long time to be in prison, if indeed he just accidentally ended up in this scenario. So what a wacky story.
It was wacky at the time. Interesting side note on this story that, you know, again, he was in this station wagon when it went into the river. And by the way, at the time, police did exonerate her. I mean, it wasn't like they, you know, I know there was talk that maybe the two of them had been in cahoots with this, but the police really found no evidence of that. But the car that was used in this incident was a car that was given to Lawrence Delisle by his mother. His father had committed suicide in this vehicle just weeks, months before this incident, and there was still blood in this vehicle. So there's a lot of psychological overtones to this incident and what really happened that day.
Yeah, that's spooky, to say
yes,
the least.
Yes.
Was there any, do you happen to remember, was there any evidence that he had tried to free the kids from the back, or did that never really came out?
He said he did. He told police that he tried, and I also believe there was testimony from his wife saying that she had tried to unlock, you know, get the doors open. And as you know, when a vehicle's in water, it's very hard to do that. The children mm-hmm. were strapped into seatbelts and car seats. That was an additional issue here. And the next day that vehicle was pulled out of the water. That I remember very well. And it was just a terrible scene, as you could only imagine.
Yeah. Look, I'm no legal scholar. And as you know, having lost a child of my own, that is a pain that it never really leaves you. Even, you know, years later, when it stops hurting on a day-to-day basis and you don't think about it all the time. I mean, I can only imagine in a scenario where he happens to be innocent of the intent of this. He really did have a leg cramp or some kind of malfunction. And before you know it, boom, this happens. Can you imagine living in prison for 34 years with the mental and emotional debt of having killed your children accidentally, what that must feel like? I mean, if there's even a shadow of a chance that the man is innocent and God only knows, I guess the greatest thing in the world would be for him to spend the rest of his life free. But I don't know how they will ever ascertain that other than the evidence they already have.
Right. How would they ascertain that? How would they, what kind of evidence would they weigh? This is a commutation hearing. So it basically, in a commutation, you still have the charges against you. The conviction is still against you. You just would not be behind bars.
Yeah, what an incredible story. I guess I don't want to say I look forward to it, but I'd be interested to know.
Yeah,
if
to see what happens.
Comes well, forward and
the hearing will be March 21st.
March 21st. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
Interesting story, sad story. Dave Rieger, I don't know in today's environment if you could ever pull something out of the cobwebs when it comes to forensics, so on and so forth, to prove that he did or he didn't. But have you ever had one of those leg cramps that actually involuntarily shoves your leg one way or the other?
I have.
Yeah, it's not comfortable, is it?
No.
Yeah, I watch the news at night and some golf stuff, typically laying in bed before I actually close my eyes and do some reading and fall asleep. Every once in a while, I flex my foot in a certain direction and I get that incredible feeling where your leg just wants to go dead straight and it feels like an alien has taken over your body.
I heard it's a sign of not drinking. It's not, I've always been told it's a sign of not drinking enough water.
Really?
Yeah. If you start to cramp up, it's a sign of you're dehydrated.
Does coffee and beer count?
No. It doesn't.
You think it would. I mean, they're mostly water.
Right.
You know, the problem in your late 40s and 50s, if you drink too much water, then you spend all night getting up and down every 2 hours to use the men's room.
That is a potential side effect. What would you rather have, that or would you rather have the cramp that happens in your life?
I'd much rather not drive my station wagon into the river.
Well, true.
Listen, when we come back, we're going to get to the callers that are waiting. But based on the America versus Americans, the people conversation, what text do we have floating around in there?
We've got a couple text messages that have been sent that I copied you on. One of them had said that, let's see here. America, these past few years under the administration, has turned into an economic zone, geopolitically and on the world stage, too. We have gotten away from the people who make up this country paying taxes. That's from Robbie in Rochester Hills.
Yeah. I tend to agree, Robbie. That's well said, actually.
And then another text from a 419 area code in Ohio says, your segment makes me think back to the old saying, tough times breed tough, resilient men. Good times breed weak men.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I'm not sure which side of the aisle that takes, because on one hand, if you go back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, you have the World Wars, you have Vietnam, you have involuntary, you know, drafting into the military. You have a time of industrialization where it was hard to get by, but it was a pull yourself up by the bootstraps period. Now, of course, our standard of living is so high that if you don't have a flat screen and a smartphone and a car, you know, with all-wheel drive and a butt warmer, you feel like you're underachieving. I'm not sure which side of the aisle to take on that one. I'll have to think on it through the break. All right, everyone hold tight. Callers, we'll be right back to you.